host of Democracy Now! For more than 15 years, CJSF 90.1 FM has been bringing Democracy Now! To the greater Vancouver area every weekday at 11 a.m. From New York, this is Democracy Now!
Once this board is completely formed, we can do pretty much whatever we want to do. The world is a region. We're going to have peace in the world. And boy, would that be a great legacy for all of us. Everybody in this room is a star.
President Trump establishes the so-called Board of Peace with a charter signing ceremony at the World Economic Forum in Davos, Switzerland. Trump will serve as chair indefinitely. Each permanent seat has a price tag of $1 billion, which Trump will control. Meanwhile, the heads of all 27 European Union countries are meeting separately in Brussels today to talk about growing tensions with the United States. We'll speak to Yanis Varoufakis, former finance minister of Greece.
The Board of Peace is such an abomination. It keeps me up at night. It's the end of the United Nations, the end of the idea of a potentially democratic world order.
Then Operation Catch of the Day. ICE and other federal agents have launched a crackdown in Maine targeting the Somali American community.
Our communities feel anxious and fearful. They see this action as unpredictable and a threat to their families. Collectively and individually, we've done everything we can to assure them and that we believe in their right to be safe. And we've tried to direct resources their way.
We'll speak with Safia Khalid, a former Lewiston, Maine city council member, and we'll be joined in studio by the internationally acclaimed Iranian author Sahar Delajani about the unprecedented crackdown and reports of massacres in Iran. All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. President Trump's backed down on his threats to take Greenland from Denmark and to impose tariffs on European allies who oppose his plans, at least for now. After a dramatic day at the World Economic Forum in Davos, Switzerland, Trump announced the framework of a future deal had been reached for Greenland and the entire Arctic region. Trump's comment came after he met with NATO Secretary General Mark Rutte. Details of the framework have not been made public. Trump said the deal would involve the United States getting mineral rights and for Greenland to be used for Trump's proposed Golden Dome missile defense system. Trump was questioned about the deal last night.
Does it still include the United States having ownership of Greenland like you said you wanted?
It's a long-term deal. It's the ultimate long-term deal.
The Greenlandic politician Aaja Chemnitz, who serves in the Danish parliament, criticized Trump's deal. She said, quote, NATO in no case has the right to negotiate on anything without us, Greenland. Nothing about us without us, she said. During a major speech to the World Economic Forum earlier on Wednesday, Trump repeatedly called Greenland Iceland. Today, the heads of all 27 European Union nations are meeting in Brussels for what's being described as an extraordinary summit. President Trump hosted a signing ceremony today in Davos for his so-called Board of Peace. Some 35 countries have agreed to sign on to the project, but many critics fear the board could undermine the United Nations. Trump will serve as the board's chair indefinitely and have veto power over all the board's decisions. He's asking countries to pay $1 billion for a permanent spot on the board. Trump initially proposed the board to oversee Gaza, but he now envisions a much broader mission.
Once this board is completely formed, we can do pretty much whatever we want to do, and we'll do it in conjunction with the United Nations. You know, I've always said the United Nations has got tremendous potential,
has not used it. On the 8 wars that I ended, I never spoke to the United Nations about any of them. And you would think that I should have. You would think they could have done those 8 wars, but they couldn't have. And they tried, I guess, in some of them, but they didn't try hard enough.
Countries that have joined the board so far include many right-wing or authoritarian governments, including Argentina, Azerbaijan, Bahrain, Belarus, Egypt, Indonesia, Morocco, Saudi Arabia, Turkey, and the United Arab Emirates. Hungary is the only European country to sign on. France, Norway, Slovenia, Sweden, and the United Kingdom have all said they will not join. Trump has invited Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and Russian President Vladimir Putin to join the Board of Peace. The Israeli press reports Netanyahu opted not to fly to Switzerland out of fear he would be arrested for war crimes. During the Board of Peace ceremony, Trump also suggested a settlement on the Ukraine war is, quote, coming very soon, unquote. Israeli attacks on Gaza killed at least 11 Palestinians Wednesday, including 3 journalists who were working with the Egyptian Committee for Gaza Relief. Mohamed Keshta, Abdul Rauf Shath, and Anas Gunaim were killed when an Israeli missile struck their vehicle. Shath was a contributor to CBS News and Agence France-Presse. He just got married within the last weeks. Mohamed Mansour of the Egyptian Committee for Gaza Relief condemned Israel's attack on the journalists.
What happened is a very big crime committed by the Israeli army by targeting a crew belonging to the Egyptian committee. This crew was not firing rockets nor fighting the Israeli army. The Egyptian committee's crew was in a humanitarian mission. This crew is searching day and night for a shelter to house our people.
According to the International Federation of Journalists, at least 258 journalists and media workers have been killed in Gaza since 2023. The Associated Press is reporting ICE is asserting that federal immigration officers have the power to forcibly enter homes without a judicial warrant in what legal experts say is a clear violation of the Fourth Amendment. ICE made the sweeping claim in a secretive memo dated May 12th. 2 whistleblowers shared the memo with Senator Richard Blumenthal. On Wednesday, Blumenthal said, quote, "It is a legally and morally abhorrent policy that exemplifies the kinds of dangerous, disgraceful abuses America is seeing in real time," unquote. The revelation of the memo comes just days after armed, masked agents in St. Paul, Minnesota, battered down the door of a home and without a warrant arrested a man who was let out of his home in his underwear in sub-freezing weather. It turned out the man, Chongli Scott Tao, was a naturalized U.S. citizen who was born in Laos. He was later released. In more news from Minnesota, school officials in Columbia Heights say ICE agents have detained 4 children in the school district in recent weeks, including a 5-year-old boy named Liam Ramos, who was detained Tuesday along with his dad as he returned home from preschool. The school released a photo showing a masked agent standing next to Liam, who was wearing his backpack and a blue winter hat with bunny ears. About 20 minutes later, Liam's older brother arrived home from middle school to find his younger brother and father were gone. School officials say Liam and his father have been sent to a detention center in Texas, more than 1,000 miles away. School officials also say ICE agents tried to use Liam as bait by asking him to ring the bell to his home to help agents detain additional people. One of Liam's teachers said in a statement, quote, "Liam is a bright young student. He's so kind and loving, and his classmates miss him. He comes into class every day and just brightens the room. All I want is for him to be back here and safe," the teacher said. A medical examiner in Texas has determined a Cuban immigrant who died in ICE detention in El Paso died as a result of a homicide. An autopsy found that Geraldo Lunas Campos died from, quote, "asphyxia due to neck and torso compression," unquote. ICE has claimed the 55-year-old father of 4 died while staff were attempting to save him after he tried to take his own life. But a witness told the Associated Press that Lunas Campos died after he was handcuffed, tackled by guards, and placed in a chokehold until he lost consciousness. The Washington Post has revealed the Department of Homeland Security is now attempting to deport two men who witnessed Lunas Campos's death. Democratic Congresswoman Pramila Jayapal responded online, writing, "This looks a lot like a cover-up. We need an independent investigation now," she wrote. Lunas Campos is one of three immigrants to die over the past 2 months at Camp East Montana, a sprawling ICE detention tent camp located at Fort Bliss in El Paso, Texas. The Department of Homeland Security has launched a new immigration crackdown in the state of Maine targeting Portland and Lewiston, which has a large Somali population. DHS has labeled the campaign Operation Catch of the Day. Lewiston Mayor Carl Shaleen criticized the operation, saying, quote, ICE's terror and intimidation tactics reflect a complete lack of humanity and concern for basic human welfare. We'll go to Lewiston, Maine, later in the broadcast. Justices on the Supreme Court appear poised to reject President Trump's effort to oust Federal Reserve Governor Lisa Cook, the first Black woman to serve on the board. During more than 2 hours of arguments, justices repeatedly questioned Trump's authority to unilaterally remove her. Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell attended the hearing, defying a warning from Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent not to attend. Trump has repeatedly threatened to fire Powell as well. Earlier this month, the Department of Justice launched a criminal probe into Powell. California Democratic Congresswoman Maxine Waters spoke outside the Supreme Court Wednesday.
I hope that the Supreme Court considers the facts and arguments in today's hearings and sends a clear message to Trump that this country is governed by laws, not by one man's fragile ego. The Fed does not belong to Donald Trump. It belongs to the American people.
The House Oversight Committee has voted to hold former President Bill Clinton and former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton in contempt of Congress for refusing to comply with a subpoena to testify as part of a congressional probe into the late sex offender Jeffrey Epstein. Nine Democrats on the House panel voted with Republicans to hold Bill Clinton in contempt. According to flight logs, Bill Clinton took four international trips on Epstein's private jet. Meanwhile, the House committee has also announced it will depose Epstein's co-conspirator, Ghislaine Maxwell, on February 9th as part of its probe. She's currently serving a 20-year sentence on sex trafficking charges. This all comes as pressure grows on the Department of Justice to fully release its Epstein files. So far, less than 1% of the files have been made public. A Texas jury has acquitted former school police officer Adrian Gonzalez in the first trial over the police response to the 2022 Uvalde school shooting in which a gunman killed 19 children and two teachers in their classrooms. Gonzalez had been charged with 29 counts of child endangerment for deciding not to immediately enter Robb Elementary School to confront the gunman. And Chile's far-right president-elect, José Antonio Kast, has named two lawyers who once represented U.S.-backed dictator Augusto Pinochet to serve in his cabinet. Pinochet ruled Chile from 1973 to 1990. One of the lawyers, Fernando Rabat, has been tapped to head Chile's justice and human rights ministry. The other, Fernando Barros, will serve as defense minister. Kast has openly praised Pinochet and is the son of a Nazi who fled Germany after World War II. Human rights groups criticize the selections. The Association of Relatives of Detained and Disappeared Persons wrote last week, quote, "It constitutes a direct offense to the memory of the victims of the dictatorship and their families. It reaffirms a history of apologizing for the dictatorship and a commitment to impunity," unquote. And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman.
And I'm Nermeen Sheikh. Welcome to our listeners and viewers across the country and around the world. President Trump hosted an elaborate signing ceremony today in Davos for his so-called Board of Peace. Over 20 countries have joined, but that number is expected to increase. Many critics fear the board could undermine the United Nations. Trump will serve as chairman indefinitely. Each permanent seat has a price tag of $1 billion, which Trump will control. Trump initially proposed the board to oversee Gaza, but said he now envisions a much broader vision.
Once this board is completely formed, we can do pretty much whatever we want to do, and we'll do it in conjunction with the United Nations. You know, I've always said the United Nations has got tremendous potential, has not used it. But there's tremendous potential in the United Nations. You know, on the 8 wars that I ended, I never spoke to the United Nations about any of them. And you would think that I should have. You would think they could have done those 8 wars, but they couldn't have. And they tried, I guess, in some of them, but they didn't try hard enough. This is for the world. As everyone can see today, the first steps toward a brighter day for the Middle East and a much safer future for the world are unfolding right before your very eyes. Because I'm calling the world a region. The world is a region. We're going to have peace in the world. And boy, would that be a great legacy for all of us. Everybody in this room is a star, or you wouldn't be here. There's a reason that you're here, and you're all stars.
Mm-hmm. The charter makes no mention of Gaza. Countries that have joined the board so far include many right-wing or authoritarian governments, including Argentina, Azerbaijan, Bahrain, Belarus, Egypt, Indonesia, Morocco, Saudi Arabia, Turkey, and the United Arab Emirates. Hungary is the only European country to sign on. France, Norway, Slovenia, Sweden, and the United Kingdom have all said they will not join. Trump has invited Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and Russian President Vladimir Putin to join the Board of Peace. The Israeli press reports Netanyahu opted not to fly to Switzerland out of fear that he would be arrested for war crimes. During the Board of Peace ceremony, Trump also suggested a settlement on the Ukraine war is, quote, coming very soon. Also at today's signing ceremony, President Trump's son-in-law and senior White House advisor, Jared Kushner, unveiled the board's new $25 billion master plan for a new Gaza.
So we did a master plan. We brought in, I thank you, Kier Gabay, who's one of the most successful real estate developers and brilliant people I know. He's volunteered to do this, not for profit, really because of his heart. He wants to do this. And we've developed ways to redevelop Gaza. Gaza, as President Trump's been saying, has amazing potential. And this is for the people of Gaza. We've developed it into zones. In the beginning, we were toying with the idea of saying, let's build a free zone, and then we have a Hamas zone. And then we said, you know what, let's just plan for catastrophic success. Hamas signed a deal to demilitarize. That is what we are going to enforce. People ask us what our plan B is. We do not have a plan B. We have a plan. We signed an agreement. We are all committed to making that agreement work. There's a master plan. We'll be doing it in phasing. In the Middle East, they build cities like this in, 2-3 million people. They build this in 3 years. And so stuff like this is very doable if we make it happen. Rafah will start with. This will show a lot of workforce housing. We think this could be done in 2-3 years. We've already started removing the rubble and doing some of the demolition. And then New Gaza. It could be a hope. It could be a destination, have a lot of industry, and really be a place that the people there can thrive.
That is former White House advisor, Trump's son-in-law, Jared Kushner. Meanwhile, President Trump has backed down on his threats to take Greenland from Denmark and to impose tariffs on European allies who oppose his plans, at least for now. After a dramatic day at the World Economic Forum in Davos Wednesday, Trump announced the framework of a future deal had been reached for Greenland and the entire Arctic region. During his speech, Trump repeatedly referred to Iceland instead of Greenland.
Iceland, that I can tell you. I mean, our stock market took the first dip yesterday because of Iceland. So Iceland's already cost us a lot of money. But that dip is peanuts compared to what it's gone up.
Trump's comment came after he met with NATO Secretary General Mark Rutte. Details of the framework have not been made public. Trump said the deal would involve the United States getting mineral rights and for Greenland to be used for Trump's proposed Golden Dome missile defense system. Rutte was asked about the deal by journalist Fareed Zakaria.
Does all of this give you a sense that the United States, under current administration, is truly committed to the support of Ukraine and to the independence and sovereignty of Ukraine?
Yes. And when it comes to the Arctic, President Trump in his first term already said we should spend more time and more energy on the Arctic and to defend the Arctic against the Russians and the Chinese because the sea lanes are opening up. Greenland, yes. Not only Greenland, it is the whole Arctic. Seven nations in NATO, one outside NATO, Russia, and these seven have to defend themselves against Russia and China.
For more, we go to Athens, Greece, where we're joined by Yanis Varoufakis, former finance minister of Greece, author of several books, including Techno-Feudalism, What Killed Capitalism. Yanis, welcome back to Democracy Now! When we got in touch with you yesterday, the top news was President Trump backing off, saying he would invade Greenland and also dropping the tariffs. But a lot has happened in the ensuing minutes, or I should say hours, as it so happens every day now. This fire hose of news. Just as we are broadcasting, President Trump has held a charter signing ceremony for the so-called Board of Peace. While the Board of Peace he referred to was initially for Gaza, he now says it's the region, it'll deal with the region of the world. He said, yes, the world is a region. And he was surrounded by everyone from the head of Argentina, Milei, had Belarus sign, Morocco, Saudi Arabia. The European community, meanwhile, is meeting in Brussels, the 27 nations. It's very interesting to note, is he having this gathering in Davos to take away from this image of the European community, fiercely critical of what he has done just alone in these last few days, imposing the sanctions, saying he would invade Greenland, what he called Iceland, and then taking it all back?
Well, what we see is the geopolitical version of Steve Bannon's infamous policy or tactic of flooding the zone. He abducts Maduro from Venezuela before we have a chance to think about it. He talks about Greenland. Then he threatens military action in Greenland. Then he takes it all back. Then he abandons the Board of Peace. Then he brings it back and, you know, proposes it as a substitute for the United Nations. I think that, you know, it's very easy to dismiss this as a toddler on LSD. But I think that behind this tactic, we have the Steve Bannon, you know, strategy of making the rest of us, the rest of the world, you know, sink into a black hole of uncertainty while he is getting on with the business of enriching himself, a ruling class of tech lords around him, and solidifying his power and keeping his divided MAGA movement somehow, you know, pacified.
And Yanis, already before today's developments, you'd called the Board of Peace, quote, one of the most despicable developments in your lifetime. So if you could explain what your sense is now, given that we know more about the contours of this board, in particular, the fact that the charter itself made no mention of Gaza, though it was supposed to be a board of peace for Gaza.
Well, when I first heard about the Board of Gaza months ago, it made me think that, you know, this is something that Philip K. Dick would invent, part of science fiction, if he was on really bad drugs. The reason why it is a monstrous idea is because, think about it, what he initially proposed, and this is still going on, is that a private company, headed by him for life, will annex the occupied land of Gaza. And interestingly, the Europeans, they went along with that because they thought it was only about Gaza. But it wasn't. They were wrong. It was much bigger than that. It was all about, as we now see, replacing the international order that came out of 1945, the carnage of the Second World War, the Holocaust, and so on. Look, the United Nations undoubtedly has proven itself particularly weak. He said so, didn't he? We heard him say, oh, they haven't sorted out any wars. Well, there's a reason for that, because people like him keep vetoing any serious peace proposal at the level of the Security Council. But the whole point of what he's doing is essentially to create an unholy alliance of big business. This is what the tech lords, you know, Peter Thiel, various members of this cabal that were with him during his inauguration. The second inauguration. This is a new ideology, the ideology of corporations resembling, if you want to go back centuries ago, you know, the Dutch East India Company or the British East India Company. That monstrous, how shall I put it, nightmare is now coming back in very flimsy terms, with a charter which is not worth the paper it's written on. But this is the whole intention. This is where we're being pushed.
And Yanis, let's just talk about who is on this, the executive committee of this board. It includes, of course, Trump's son-in-law, Jared Kushner, Secretary of State Marco Rubio, as well as the former British Prime Minister, Tony Blair. Now, the French president, Emmanuel Macron, refused to join, warning that it could undermine the United Nations. But Trump will not only serve as the board's chair indefinitely, he will also have veto power over all the board's decisions. I mean, what do you think that means, especially in light of critics like yourself saying that this might actually be an organization that supersedes the United Nations, or in fact makes the UN entirely redundant?
Well, this is not a matter of interpretation. I mean, it's what Trump wants. It's what he says he wants to do. He says, okay, well, maybe we can keep the United Nations as a rubber stamp. After all, he did push through his proposal of this Board of Peace for Gaza through the Security Council with the complicity of the French and the British, who are now realizing that this is not just about, you know, brown people in the developing world. It's not just about the Palestinians, whom they themselves condemned to genocide. It's about them as well. So they're beginning to understand that they're getting their comeuppance. But, you know, when President Macron, for instance, you mentioned that, says, oh, but, you know, your Board of Peace is going to undermine the United Nations. Now, where was President Macron when Israel was effectively wiping the floor clean with the Charter of the United Nations, with the decisions of the International Court of Justice ordering Israel to withdraw from occupied territories? The answer is people like President Macron and Prime Minister Keir Starmer of Britain and Friedrich Merz, the Chancellor of Germany, were aiding and abetting this trashing of the United Nations. So in a sense, Trump has all his work done for him by placid European centrists who went along with a policy of trashing international law and creating the circumstances for him to create his private company and say, right, I'm taking over the world.
Yanis, but what about this fact of $1 billion? Each member will pay $1 billion to join. Now, this is unprecedented as far as international organizations go. Which international organizations require payment from member states?
And of course, Trump alone will be in charge of that money.
It's not at all unprecedented. It's how capitalism made its first flattering moves. Remember the East India Company, both the Dutch version and the British version? How did it happen? In the case of the British East India Company, while Shakespeare was writing a play somewhere in London, businessmen got together and they chipped in the equivalent of £1 billion or dollars or whatever each, to create that company. And that company, in the end, let us not forget that, was the first colonizer. They had 200,000 soldiers under their command. They took over East India. They took over Indonesia. And it was only later that the states came and effectively nationalized colonialism. So we are going back many centuries. Maybe it's unprecedented given the narrative that we have been led to believe falsely that is now permanent over the last 60, 70 years. But essentially, Trump is, with the complicity of the Europeans, at least in terms of their deeds, if not their words, is trying to